Good day to you, and welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace for Sunday the 24th of March 2024. In the Christian calendar, today is Palm Sunday, when we remember Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. This broadcast is brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of the congregation, and I welcome you. We would also be pleased to welcome you in person to our services on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at our premises at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke. During this Holy Week, there are various services in the various churches to mark the events of Holy Week, and I direct you to websites and Facebook pages to encourage you to explore the story of the last week of Jesus' mortal life, leading to his glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. Words from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks because you answered me. You have become my salvation. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Redeemer King, for you reign sovereign in our hearts. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Saviour of the world, for you have saved us from ourselves, giving yourself for us in love. Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you, our Lord and our Saviour, our servant and our friend. We invite you into this personal and private space where we have gathered. We welcome you into our reflections. We welcome you into our lives. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to be servants, yet we confess we like to be served. You call us to give ourselves away for love's sake, yet we confess we like to hang on to what we have. We can't imagine following you to the cross. As we see your cross looming, we wonder, is this what you have in mind for us? Jesus said, I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Christ has laid down his life for us and invites us to love one another as he has loved us. Let us trust his love and mercy to give us strength and make us new through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God of truth and wisdom, Jesus confronted those who stood against him as your truth. Send us your Holy Spirit to hear your truth again in his story. Inspire us with his courage and conviction so that we may love you more fully and serve you with wisdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We read the Palm Sunday account from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen.
I will bow down and hail you as King, and I will serve you. I'll give you everything, and I will lift up my eyes to your throne, and I will trust you. I will trust. trust you alone. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
The Reverend Bill Carter of Pennsylvania tells the story from when he was leading a tour group to Israel and they stopped at the top of the Mount of Olives, right at the start of the route that Jesus took when he entered the city on Palm Sunday. To this day, it is still a moving sight. Right by the tour bus were a couple of local men and they waited for the tourists to dismount the bus. "Would you like to borrow a donkey to ride down the hill?" they asked. "Perhaps you would sit upon one and we can take your picture." Now these were not kind offers by generous new friends. This was the way those men make their living. Now none of Bill's tour took them up on the offer, particularly when they heard it was $50 for the picture and $100.50 to borrow the donkey. The Mount of Olives is the most famous place on earth to borrow a donkey. And they turned down their invitation. It was enough to know that they were on the same road with Jesus. But they did see others, though, shelling out cash right and left for the privilege of riding those donkeys down the hill. But if those people really wanted to take their Bible seriously, they would have insisted that no money should have changed hands. The Bible insists the donkey was borrowed. Jesus sent two disciples ahead of him on his way to Jerusalem. When they got to the small village of Bethphage, he said, "Go to the village up there, and you'll find the colt of a donkey. Untie it and bring it to me. And if anybody asks, 'Where are you going with my animal?' simply say, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll bring it right back." On Palm Sunday, the Jesus bandwagon is well and truly rolling, and everybody wants to be in on it. Anyone who's heard the story knows how exciting it is. Hundreds of people lined the road of the city. The Passover holiday was near and excitement ignited the air. And Jesus intentionally chooses to join the festival parade in this way. He is the one that everybody awaits. He is the rightful ruler of God's people, not Caesar. He comes to redeem the people from the oppression of the empire. And they sing, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But he comes on a borrowed donkey. Now what kind of king is this? All of us know the story. And as somebody notes, Jesus was born in a borrowed place and laid in a borrowed manger. As he travelled, he had no place of his own to spend the night. He rode into the city on a borrowed donkey. He ate his final meal in a borrowed room. He was crucified on a borrowed cross, wearing a borrowed crown that jokers stuck on his head. And when he died, somebody placed his body in a borrowed tomb. Jesus was a borrower. He did not grasp or grab what did not belong to him, but shared what was given to him freely. And as the early church pondered the identity and character of Jesus, it declared, Jesus did not account equality with God as something to be clutched. Our Lord did not hold on to heavenly glory and throw his weight around. He never forced himself upon anybody. And so Jesus emptied himself. He gave himself completely away for the benefit of others. Have you ever considered how remarkable this is? Jesus didn't own very much, just the tunic on his body and the sandals on his feet. And after he was arrested and condemned, the soldiers tossed dice to see who would take his clothing. And he commanded the same of those who followed him, as he instructed them, "When you go out to proclaim the good news, take no money, no knapsack, no extra tunic, no extra shoes, not even a walking stick. Take only a word of peace, borrow the bed given to you, and proclaim that God's kingdom has come very close." Now, we can rationalize culture and stewardship and possessions, but at its core, the good news of God does not need a lot of props. What it needs is the kind of people who believe it as simply as they can. And that is remarkable, especially in our culture, so bent on consumption. Materialism infects a lot of otherwise Christian people. We are grateful for the technology that can help our congregations, that brings us radio broadcasts. Some churches buy a lot of fancy equipment to razzle-dazzle the crowds. They crank up the volume to amplify what they say. They put on a good show because they've been seduced to think that the gospel depends on having a lot of toys. But today, we remember how the Saviour of the world is the one who borrows a donkey to ride downhill to his cross. Who are the real blessed ones? Jesus says they're the people who don't have very much, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are hungry for food and thirsty for righteousness. These are the blessed ones, says Jesus. Who are the blessed ones? Blessed are those who keep a light grip on all that they have, for they know that everything in life depends on the generosity of God. They are the people who have everything. Once the guest master at a Benedictine monastery explained why he kept no possessions other than the clothes on his back. He explained, "If your closet is empty, there is more room for God." Contrast that to the child who steps over piles of dirty laundry on the floor and says, "Mom, I've nothing to wear." Or the adult surrounded by shelves of books and DVDs who declares, "I'm bored and I have nothing to do." From everything we know about him, Jesus owned very little. But what Jesus did possess was of infinite value. He possessed a deep knowledge of the scriptures, and that's how he knew the prophets expected the true ruler of God's people to be completely humble. Jesus possessed a deep sensitivity to the world's deepest needs. He paid attention to the hurts of the poor and rich alike, comprehending the forces that twist a good person out of shape, seeing how forgiveness can cancel every ongoing hurt and always healing the minds, bodies, and spirits of the people in his path. Most of all, his greatest possession was a love for every single person. His love was never a hovering, needy love, but rather a willingness to give what he could for the well-being of those around him. And today, we remember how Jesus gives himself to the world. On this festive day, he rides a borrowed donkey into the centre of the city that will reject him. He who, being in very nature a God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. And the scripture continues, "Rather he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." A person with few possessions, he empties himself of all that he has, and it's all for the benefit of saving the world, of saving you and me. And God keeps on doing this saving work, setting us free from sin and selfishness and claiming us in the name of Jesus, who owned so very little, but who ultimately wants to possess our hearts. Amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the on
Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for you alone are good and your steadfast love is forever. The creation of the world was your doing and it is a marvel in our eyes. Your prophets told of the coming one who would teach your ways and sustain us with your word. Your Son Jesus, though one with you, gave up all he had, taking on human flesh and walking the path of obedience all the way to insult, betrayal and death, trusting only in your vindication. Though he was rejected by those who had cheered him, you made him the cornerstone of new life and raised him to the highest place of honour. He has opened the gates of justice and become our salvation, and so with shouts of joy we greet his appearing and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to your glory for ever. In gratitude for all the mercy and compassion we have known, we pray for those who find themselves in humble circumstances. Hear us as we pray for all those who have been humbled by unexpected circumstances, for those who face illness or injury, for those who know death or disaster, fear or failure, for the victims of crime and those who suffer through the misjudgment or mistake of others. And we pray for those who suffer because of the consequences of their own actions and choices and sins. Embrace them in your mercy, O God, and humble us, lest we imagine that we can live our lives untouched by trouble. Hear us as we pray for all those who have not yet learned the lessons of humility, for those who live carelessly or drive recklessly, endangering themselves and others, for those who abuse the trust and power in their positions, betraying those whose interests are in their hands. We pray for those who mislead others to protect their own interests or indulge their fame with no thought for the consequences. Humble them, O God, in your mercy. And humble us if we're tempted to ignore the responsibility you give us all to care for our neighbour's needs. Create in us the compassion and courage as we come to the cross with Christ and in humility pray the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May I again remind you to seek out special services that mark the events of Holy Week at 7 o'clock on Good Friday at St. Mark's Chapel at Bishop's University. Ourselves and the good folks at Lennoxville United and Plymouth Trinity and St. Mark's Chapel will be holding a joint English-speaking service to mark Good Friday at 7 o'clock on Friday evening, St. Mark's Chapel. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
The Lord is the King of glory. The Lord is the King of glory. The Lord.